throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll get into a little bit, a couple of the highlights of the preseason games last night in the NFL. Now listen, I don't know which is less important as far as gleaning information out of an NFL preseason game or maybe like the NBA Summer League. There's no reason to get overly excited about either, but there were some notable things that happened for around here. Ramondre Stevenson went nuts. Thought it was interesting, Mac Jones. Is Mac Jones going to be good?
He's a he's a national title-winning quarterback.
He is.
So
we'll get there. But I didn't, or did you kind of think, well, okay, anybody almost could have quarterbacked that offense last year to a title with the talent he had surrounding him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's better than I gave him credit for. Also, by God, that's Joe Flacco's music. I didn't know it still played. I thought that record had been scratched. He looked pretty good. It's Jalen Hurts' job in jeopardy. Excuse me, there in Philly. We didn't get to the S&P rankings yesterday. Bill Connelly on ESPN came out with his college football S&P rankings. I compared them, did a little comparison to what the coaches' poll was, and then kind of broke out the Big 12 teams. Interesting. I thought there was one interesting factoid out of those Big 12 rankings in particular that I don't think a lot of people would realize. So we'll talk about that. What's your weekend plans? What's Jared got going on for the weekend? Also, last night, we have to touch on it. The Field of Dreams game. Thoughts on it? Obviously, it was a great baseball game, but it sure looked pretty cool. And then piggybacking off of that, so now what? Now what do you want to see in any sport after the booming success that was the Field of Dreams game there in a cornfield in Iowa last night? So that's what we got. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things. If you've got something else on your mind, feel free to chime in as well at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News online, thepennynews.com. You can go pick up a free copy of this week's Penny News at your local newsstand. I-35 all the way out to Amarillo, Texas. All parts in between there for the Penny News. Also got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. The Elks, 2 weeks from today, we'll be talking about the season opener with Pampa. And then also Merritt would be the week after that. And the obligatory game, week one opener for the Oilers. Missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to the podcast. Find that a couple of different places. iTunes, if you go through iTunes, you can subscribe to the podcast and you'll be alerted when a new one drops. You can also find that on KADSAM.com or the Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Well, good morning, Jared Atha. How are you?
I'm good. How's your evening?
It was spent at the practice football field over at Sayre.
Oh.
Second practice for the 5th and 6th grade Eagles. Still a no pad practice, but they did receive their shoulder pads last night.
Good.
Helmet was already, he already had his helmet, but it's still just kind of a...
So it was preseason all the way around last night.
They kind of hit
football.
It was. The littler, the 3rd and 4th graders were there too.
So, brutal assessment. How'd they do? Grade it. I mean, what needs worked on? Special teams? Wide receivers?
Recruiting. And just for numbers. No, listen, there's only 14 kids.
Oh, you need the – okay, I see. Yeah, you need the depth.
I mean, the offense will look great if the other team only plays three defenders.
Oh, boy.
Which is what's going on right now.
Yeah.
I think that always...
Well, how about some dads get out there?
Well, a lot of times it'll change once school starts.
Okay.
You know, you get to send home the papers. Hey, we're doing this. If you forgot.
Some didn't know.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Kind of forgot, yeah.
Yep. And you know, it's also, especially over there, with this extra week of no school that nobody saw coming,
I wouldn't
be shocked if people didn't take that advantage of, hey, one last hurrah, you know, maybe get out of town and that kind of thing.
I see. So, yeah, while everyone else in school, the hotels will be empty.
That's right.
That makes sense.
And so that might be part of it, but
okay.
I will say this. I can't wait to watch, what's his name, Riley? I don't know his last name yet.
Well, if Riley's parents are listening, go ahead
Riley,
and text it in.
Text us in, 225-9698. I'm just going
to
tell you.
Maybe they don't want the last name to get out there.
I'm just going to tell you. I can't wait.
The legend of Riley is
already
begun.
I cannot wait. If anybody can just get in the way of a defender, watch out.
Whoa. Looking forward to it.
Oh, man.
Looking forward to those reports.
It's a man amongst boys.
Now, where do they play when they start playing?
The football field.
At Sayre?
Yes.
Do they travel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Do they come
over here?
No.
To Elk City? No?
No. No, Kids Inc. isn't.
I understand. Okay. Different league.
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
So, let's see. Last year on the schedule, you had Merritt.
Okay. Well, that's...
You had Pampa.
Pampa.
Wheeler. Canadian.
Wow.
Childress. Is that it?
There is a Childress, yes.
Was that it? I don't remember.
A little bit of a drive down.
Hour and a half.
Down south, yeah.
From Sayre, anyway. I don't remember Wellington having a team, but they might have.
Wellington Rockets.
I know the rest of those did.
Shout out to the Rockets.
That was, I know, because that we went to Canadian, Wheeler, and Childress. Pampa came here. Merritt came here. Anyway.
You know, I've never been to Wellington.
You haven't?
But I have.
Played many a golf tournament in Wellington.
Years ago. I have no context of what Wellington is like. So years ago, I interviewed the Wellington football coach, and they had a good team. They still have a pretty good program. Guy was, you know, and what do we think when we interview coaches for the first time? A little nervous, right? Because we're like, well, how's this guy react? How is he with the media? Is he open with us? Does he not like the media? Got him on the phone. Nicest coach. I've interviewed a lot of coaches, and this isn't a knock on other coaches that I've interviewed. This guy was one of the nicest coaches I've ever interviewed.
Nice.
So now my opinion of Wellington is just full of nice people, right?
If
your high school football coach is a nice guy,
yeah, then
the rest of the town must be pretty good. So, that's my impression of Wellington. But, yeah, Wellington Rockets, I think they won a state title.
I'm pretty sure the same year Hollis won.
Yeah.
Because
and they played each other.
The next year. I think they played each other the next year.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hollis had kind of lost their dudes.
Right.
And Wellington hadn't.
And it was still a good game.
Yeah, but they, if I remember right, that game was the demise of the Hollis football season because three of their guys got hurt.
Oh, yes.
Three of their few returners or whatever, and that made everything go downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's naturally they play each other because they're pretty close.
Oh, it can't be more than 20 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right across the line.
I love that stuff. I love it in high school.
I think I actually think that's kind of a little bit of a feud. A
little rivalry going on?
Yes, yes.
That's cool.
Hollis and Wellington.
Yeah. I like it when us Oklahoma schools can take on some, like Elk City and Pampa.
Yeah, it's
I like
cool.
that. That's cool. I like it when other schools do it. I like it when the big schools do it, like when Jinx takes on someone from Arkansas or...
Yeah, they've been going down in the Metroplex a little bit. It seemed like South Lake Carroll has played.
A few years ago, who went down to Permian?
Ooh.
It might have been Broken Arrow or Bixby or somebody.
It seems like they've played.
They went down to
like South Lake Carroll once. Seems like they've played, not Allen. It's the other one. The one, the team that does the haka dance.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is. I don't know who does it. That's cool.
Oh, man. It's one.
In Texas?
Yes. Yes. Brandon Carter, the receiver that committed to OU, ended up going to TCU. He went there. Oh man, I'll think of it. But any somebody played them.
Yeah, I like it.
And they're one of those powerhouses around the Metroplex area. Yeah, we've seen. I just don't remember anybody going all that way out there.
The team that is the town in Texas, way up in the northeast corner of the Panhandle. Weatherford played them one time. They had a home and home with them. Spearman?
Booker?
Nah, I have to look him up on a map. It'll pop right out on me. I like it though, because it makes you. Does it not? Does it make you? Even though, one of those teams might be your rival.
Gosh.
Or
Euless Trinity. I knew Western. Euless though. Trinity. Yes, okay. Golly, I could not think of that.
But when the Oklahoma schools played the Texas schools, Perryton. Yes.
Perryton. Is that
that's
who
it,
would,
that's
Weatherford
it.
Played?
Weatherford played Perryton. Yeah. But I wonder if Woodward's ever played them. About the same.
Seems like they'll have a Kansas game.
Yeah, Guymon plays a ton.
Guymon will play a Liberal or somebody.
But don't you always kind of lean like, well, I'm going to root for the Oklahoma school. You know what I mean?
It would depend on who it is.
I'm ashamed to say it. When it's Weatherford playing any Texas school, I'll root for Weatherford.
Go Rangers. I don't know what to say.
All right. Perryton, that's right.
Yeah, Perryton Rangers.
Spearman is up there, but it's Perryton. It's the Perryton Rangers? How do you know that?
I just know.
That's impressive.
You know who was from Perryton?
Help me out.
Very famous baseball man from Perryton. He was a Major League Baseball player and manager. Managed the Indians, the Mariners.
Oh, I'm picturing
maybe
him.
The Orioles.
I'm picturing him.
He was a Perryton Ranger. Played at Northwestern.
Just throw it out there. Who is it?
Mike Hargrove.
Oh, okay. Speaking Rangers. Perfect segue here. Speaking of former managers, did you see in the pregame of last night's Field of Dreams game the piece on Jeff Bannister?
I did not.
He was born in Weatherford and was a manager of the Rangers for four seasons. Great piece on him.
Weatherford okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was talked about how his struggles, health struggles, and like physically, mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And it was, I didn't know that about him, and I'm a Ranger fan. I didn't know about that history of his. Basically had one at bat in the major leagues and got a hit.
He's like Moonlight Graham.
Exactly.
What a perfect segue.
Guess who made that piece? Guess who did it?
Who? Kevin Costner?
Tom Rinaldi.
Oh, of course. Of course. Tom Rinaldi.
It was great. It was a good piece. And that game was awesome.
Listen, we got to. That's where we're going next.
We got to.
It is for all the failures, and it has been just complete failures from a marketing standpoint of Major League Baseball for all these years.
Yes.
I am shocked that they came up with this and pulled it off to the level that it was pulled off. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the end of the game certainly helps it, but it all started with the beginning. And you and I talked about it yesterday. Surely they couldn't screw that up.
Oh, they got it
right. And sure enough, they got it right. The one thing that I think if we'd have thought about it just a tick, we would have came up with the obvious person to, throw out the first pitch or walk him in was Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And then you see him walking through the corn, and then everybody else is walking. I mean, it was just, they did it how they should have after thinking of this. Thank goodness they didn't botch that. And, of course, they didn't. It was just, it was amazing. And the views of it, it was just the coolest thing. I mean, you text me, what a great ending to the game. And it was an incredible ending with Judge and Stanton going deep in the top of the ninth give the Yankees the lead. And, it felt like the crowd that was there was totally unbiased. So they cheered everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like
they cheered a baseball
game.
They
cheered just the game
as
opposed to a team. So everybody's going nuts. And then Tim Anderson goes deep to win it. And everybody's going nuts, And it was that. It was the players, just the way – I mean, when you see them walking in, they're looking around. It was like little kids.
Yeah.
The looks on their face. So kudos to whoever thought of that and the way that it was pulled off. It was done. It was just done great. And it's nice to see. I mean, because I'm not kidding when I say this. The last marketing strategy or campaign or ploy or whatever you want to call it that I can remember from Major League Baseball was chicks dig the long ball. That was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Coming out of the strike.
Right.
To try, you know, and then all that started happening with Junior and with Bonds, and then eventually it was Sosa and McGuire going back and forth in that summer of 98, and that became a thing. But since then, that's all I can think of. I mean, you know, you listen to Jim talk about it all the time. Mike Trout, probably one of the 10 best baseball players of all time already. And if he walked in here, you wouldn't know him.
Well, we would, but you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
And Tara up front would go, hi, can I help you?
Yeah, how can I help you? I'm Mike Trout. Okay, well, who's that?
All right, a fisherman's here, guys. Yeah, I guess. This is for Jimmy's show.
Exactly, yeah. You're here pretty early for the noon show to talk about wildlife. Yeah. You know, and even Ohtani.
Yeah.
He's doing something that even Babe Ruth didn't do, and you don't know it. Out in the public sphere outside of sports or even just baseball, you don't know it. But this was something that connects to pop culture, connects to a movie that lots of people have seen. It was done well. Just fantastic. It was the best thing I can remember, like a new idea sports-wise as far as games, since they started playing those hockey games outside.
Yeah, it conjured up. You know, I was watching a lot of the pregame, like I said, just I was really interested to see, and I love the idea of everybody getting in the spirit of things. Even some in the crowd, the way they dressed, and you know, like Smoltz, how he dressed up, and the pieces that they did around certain players, and some the stories, and you mentioned the aerial shots were just breathtaking. And then when the opening happened, when Costner walks out to the music from the movie, and you could tell he's just in that character. He's Ray, you know, he's in that character, and then he senses someone's behind him, look, turns back, and then you just see those players appear from the corner. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had a little man tears swelling up. I mean, I was holding it back because it triggered why it reminded me why I fell in love with baseball as a kid. You know what I mean? It there's so many emotions running through me. Like, man, I wish I could go back and play. You know what I mean? I wish I could play in a competitive game. You take that for granted as a kid, and now it's you can't do that anymore, but we can watch it, and we can still love the game. And Major League Baseball did a great job of reminding us why baseball is a game to be loved. And then they've got to continue this. Not necessarily this game, but some, and I don't want to call it like a niche or a gimmick, but and they got to be careful, too, the next thing that they choose to do, too, because it's like, oh, well, it didn't top the Field of Dreams game.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, nothing's going to top it. I don't think anything's going to top it, but you can take these ideas and run with it. You can go, okay, you know what? We got a great response from this, so what else can we do? What else will the fans want to see? What else would they love? We talked a little bit about it yesterday. What kind of game, what kind of fun atmosphere could MLB create? You know, take the game internationally, you know, celebrate the culture of baseball overseas in Japan. And we've had Japan games. They were exhibition games, I think. But, you know, something like that. I don't know. You know, speaking of movies, and I was serious. Somebody mentioned Sandlot game. That's not a horrible idea. Or, I don't know, Angels in the Outfield. I don't know. But if you, whoever came up with this idea or the team, one, they need a raise. And two, you need to have them on retainer and keep them. Go, okay, guys, you're the think tank. Come up with something else for us.
Yeah, and it does sound like that game is going to continue from
every
just
year
kind of reading,
or
for sure next year.
Okay,
which like I mean,
it could be a desired location for teams. Like, God, I hope they pick our team to play.
Yeah,
in this game.
And of course you had to have the White Sox,
of course,
in the game, and they wear the sweet old unis and all of that. The only thing missing was like the ghost of Shoeless Joe hitting a home run instead of Tim Anderson,
right,
as far as the movie goes and all that. It was great.
But the way that game ended, I even thought, man, were they with them?
Was there something that happened?
Did something happen? I mean, this is just like the It was a storybook ending
that you almost wouldn't write.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No one would believe it.
Insane, crazy, but it was so fun.
It was fantastic.
So fun. The only thing I wish, and I mentioned it yesterday, the only thing I wish I'd seen, or you know, you saw a commercial, it kind of hinted at it. James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
You know, he was, and I was wondering if anyone else from the cast would be there. Timothy Busfield, you know, but it was, and Kevin Costner, obviously he was
the guy
of that movie. But I kind of wish James Earl Jones would have shown up and, you know, maybe gave that speech or been recognized during the seventh inning stretch, something. But
you mean
if I'm getting nitpicky, that would be it.
You mean this,
Ray? People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past.
Now listen, it goes another 3 minutes, but I didn't have time to put that in the sports.
One of the best speeches
last night
in movie history.
It's great.
One of the best speeches.
And the very end of that is something that baseball finally tapped into from people like you and I, and then others that don't follow it nearly as closely or what have you, and that is they'll come to Iowa not knowing what they're doing, longing for the past like they were kids.
Yeah.
And that's the emotions that it invoked. That's why everyone loves baseball, because the ones that do, a big part of that is you start playing baseball at such a young age that you play it with the joy of a child. And then when that's able to be kind of reintroduced as you're older, you know, you become more jaded, you become more cynical about everything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, there's the pure love of the game that I had when I was a kid. I get to see it. You get to see it with your children right now.
Absolutely.
And to be able to, and as you're doing it, as you're watching them play, you can't help but think, man, you remember it when I was that age, or when I, you know, and this and that. And so when then that comes back to something when you were that age, like this is, it was just awesome.
It was magical.
It was awesome. Yeah. Now, you talked about baseball. The Sandlot is a great idea. Now, once again, it can't be that one. But even the beauty of what happened last night, it wasn't that field. It was right there close. I mean, even the stuff, the way they created that stadium, it was so old-timey look. You know, the scoreboard was so perfect.
Yeah, the guys up there changing.
That's right.
That was so cool.
And everything. I mean, it was great. Like you said, Smoltz with the dress and all, you know, the way it just worked. The Sandlot would be cool. I mean,
the entire cast back, celebrate
maybe,
that movie.
Maybe not even just baseball. Outside, and I guess that's the question for us and then you guys listening as well. What do you want to see? 225-9698. What is kind of one of these type of novelty games that you want to see from any or all leagues
that everybody, and you mentioned the fans, and when that game was over, everybody was cheering.
Yes.
Everybody. There was no trash talking, no sulking. Everybody was cheering. Oh, it was an awesome game. It felt like a World Series. I told you that. It felt like they'd won the World Series.
It was cool. 225-9698.
And by the way,
what do you want to see?
I think the White Sox could win the World Series.
Yeah.
They're good.
I the one thing about them, though, you got to see what might be their fatal flaw.
Which would be pitching? Closing?
Closing.
Yeah.
That might be the White Sox fatal flaw.
Yeah.
But you know what else?
But they score runs.
You know what else you got to see? And people may not realize just how damn good Tim Anderson is.
Yeah.
It's not just that he hit the home run to win the game at the cornfield.
Speaking of home runs, every time one went in the field, my kid yelled, "Cornball!"
Corn pop. Talking about the game last night at the Field of Dreams, Major League Baseball, kudos to them for just an awesome, awesome event. And that got the question asked, okay, what else? What else do you want to see from any sport? Doesn't just have to be baseball, any sport. And we've had some answers already. This is one that immediately sprung to my mind when thinking about this. Old school basketball game at Butler Fieldhouse, like Hoosiers. Use the old basketball, no three-point line, just kind of recreate South Bend Central.
It would be an NBA
Hickory.
Or college?
Yeah, it feels like these things, to me at least, feels like these things need to be pro games at these venues.
Yeah,
I realize Hoosiers was a high school basketball movie, but it feels like that kind of.
No one's tuning in to watch a high school game at a national level.
Yeah, and you can watch Butler play at Hinkle.
Sure.
You know, but you can't see the Pacers and the Celtics.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, good. And so, it'd be a good duo there to be in there.
Yeah, it ties the professional game to the innocence of some of these
things.
There
you go.
Like last night.
Just like what we talked about, yeah.
Yeah. What do you got? I've thought about this a ton, and I've got a few rolling off my tongue in the break.
The
but
one
I'll
kept
let you ask.
Going to was the Sandlot, and somebody had texted this saying it'd be great, and I didn't think about this angle. Have it on the 4th of July.
Yeah,
Sandlot game on the 4th of July. You know, have the fence decorated like the old made up fence, like it was in the movie, and then in the 7th inning stretch, turn off the lights, have fireworks. You know. Could you play an inning with underneath the fireworks? Yeah. I doubt that. But, you know, maybe get one of the big dogs out there, you know, that look like the dog from the movie. And then invite the cast back and really celebrate that movie. That's always number one on my list, or has been lately number one on my list. Man, I mentioned off air, you know, they have the league up in Alaska where they play a game at midnight because they have enough light to do it. Who would tune in at midnight to watch a game, though?
Yeah, that's true.
The problem.
Yeah, you're probably talking about, 4 a.m. on the East Coast
or
something?
I mean, we got tons of great ideas. I don't want to – so what, you mentioned hockey.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to use the Lake Placid Arena
for
a hockey game. You're never going to be able to recreate what happened there back in 1980.
For the Miracle on Ice.
With the Miracle on Ice. You're not going to be able to do that, but – you know, just to reintroduce people to that venue. This is a great one on the text line. I mentioned the hockey games outside, but they're kind of in stadiums. What about if it was on a frozen pond in Canada? I mean, I know the idea is to generate income and people watching and whatnot. But, you know, that's kind of where some of these guys got started and played, you know. This is one that I saw that I just got on my just texted to me that I saw – kind of filtering around social media, and it was a golf tournament with hickory sticks.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I
tee it up on sand or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like you had to get a bunch of those deals, like to kick the rugby ball off of.
Right.
It would have to be, you know, fun and whatnot. And then this one, the one about Lake Placid popped in my mind when we were talking earlier, and then you said something, and I thought, oh, how sweet.
So do I get credit for this?
Not really, because I'm the one that thought of it. But you put the thought in my head. I'll give you half credit.
Okay, what is it?
Like if the Texans and the Cowboys played out at, like, Permian, Ratliff Stadium.
I would even better. Okay, why not the Texans and the Cowboys play where the Cowboys used to play, the Cotton Bowl? Would that work? It's not the Cotton Bowl that they used to play in because they've done so many improvements to it.
Right.
You know, I could see Jerry Jones jumping on that.
Or should it be the Titans and the Cowboys because they used to be the Oilers?
There you go.
Playing at one of those, you know, iconic places.
Wearing retro.
Yeah.
You know, the from the uniforms from the 60s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
No, because that stadium is an iconic stadium high school football.
When Cowboys first started, obviously that's where they started to play, was in the Cotton Bowl. And they said that when they first started, because the way the Cotton Bowl was built, what way it was back then, it gave them so much an advantage because the fans were crazy and the atmosphere was so crazy right there. And so that was kind of lost when the new stadiums were built, in a way.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool to see if they could replicate that, like how it was back in the 60s.
Yeah,
that's
a good idea. It's obviously one Saturday a year, it's full.
Well, one.
You know, but outside of that. And then, you know, and that's another thing you could piggyback off of that with using the state fair as the backdrop. I mean, that's one of the things that makes that game so cool.
Yeah.
Is that Big Tex and the giant Ferris wheel and the smell of the corny dogs is in the air if you ever go to that game.
Yeah.
And trying to use that in the NFL game.
What an incredible weekend it'd be if it was
right back to back.
Back to back. From the Tex line, the little giants.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different things.
There's a ton of options with this.
But the I can't here here's I guess to wrap this up. There are a lot of different options and there are a lot of cool options. There's no doubt about that. But I think the first one if you don't count the outside hockey games at stadium baseball stadiums, whatever. But as far as this goes, they came up with the coolest one to start. It's going to be so hard to top this with the corn in the outfield and all that. I mean, it's just, it was so awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. Oh, here you go. How about the longest yard?
Okay.
There might be some legal ramifications in some of that. Hang on a second.
Where's the Texas State Penitentiary?
There's plenty of players that have been in trouble to make up a team.
Ow! Oh, that's funny.
Well, there you go.
That's, yeah. That's good. The mean machine. Get them on the field. I like it.
You know, there's a rodeo that's held in the is that in Louisiana where that happens?
McAllister.
Oh, it's in McAllister.
Yeah, right here in Oklahoma.
Well, there's something that happened. Oh, there's a golf course. That's what it is. There's a golf course in Louisiana.
No, that's not prison. Come on.
Well, they don't get to play.
Oh, I would hope not.
They have to maintain it.
Come on. They have to maintain it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
how do they cut out the holes with a shank?
Ouch.
What?
Can you read it
on air?
Yeah, this text already knows who's going to be the starting quarterback of the longest yard team.
Who?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
All right, and with that, I think we jumped the shark, and let's move to the S&P rankings. Okay, so Bill Connolly, today he just came out with one of the top 100 football coaches of the past 50 years, which I didn't even click on because I didn't want to get myself sidetracked off of these rankings.
Okay.
So the S&P Plus rankings is what he calls them. Here's how he does it. Returning production is about two-thirds of his formula, and what that means is exactly what it says, the returning production of the guys that are coming back on your team from last year. And he kind of grades it on a scale a little bit from, like if let's say it's a senior running back, last year matters more than the first year, if that makes sense. You know, I mean, he counts some of it, but not as much, right? So that's two-thirds of his formula. A quarter is recent recruiting, so last year's class, and then another sliding scale down the further back to three classes, and then just recent history all put into one. And then he does the projections from there. He also uses pace, like how fast you play and that kind of thing, too, as he puts these rankings together. So his formula spit out the exact same five teams in the exact same order as the coaches poll did. Bama 1, Clemson 2, Oklahoma 3. But here's a caveat to that. When you look at the ranking of Oklahoma and Clemson, the number is the exact same, 28.6. But he gave the nod to Clemson because of, I think, less of a difference between offense and defense. It was 4 and 5. In the country, OU was 2 and 15, so that gave them that spot. So 2 and 3, but much closer than what the coaches had it voted, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. Ohio State 4, Georgia 5, in the same order. Now's where things started kind of changing, being a little bit more topsy-turvy. Number 6 in the coaches' poll was who? Do you remember? It was Texas A&M, pretty sure. I did not have that pulled up yesterday.
Yes, Texas A&M.
This one, he's got Wisconsin. Wisconsin's variance from the two polls was one of the highest that I could find. They were 15 in the coaches, 6 in the in this SP Plus. And a big part of that is he favors Wisconsin to have the second best defense in the country.
Okay.
LSU. They were one. They're down here at 27 in his rankings. They were 13 in the coaches. So a 14-spot difference. Is that's one that's going to be fascinating to me because of the terrible season LSU had by their standards last year. Are they getting more credit from the coaches because of those three letters in their name? Or
that's a big part of it, I think.
You know, or is this right? You know, where will they actually end up? Another team that he gives way more credit to than the coaches, Miami. The Hurricanes, number 8 in the SP Plus, 16 in the Coaches Poll. One that he doesn't give much credit to, and one that you kind of tabbed as one of the overrated ones, Notre Dame. All the way down to 18 in this SP Plus, number 7 in the Coaches Poll. And then one other that he gave a lot more credit to than the coaches, the Penn State Nittany Lions, 10 in the SP Plus, 20 in the Coaches Poll. I just always think these are so interesting because what is one of the things that we've all at one point in our lives said about the poll system? It's biased because the people that are ranking are biased.
Right.
Whereas this is just using numbers.
Using analytics.
Analytics. And so it's always fascinating to me to see kind of which one of these wins out.
Yeah.
Is it the quote-unquote kind of eye test, or is it the numbers game?
How has his polls in the past compared to final rankings?
Let's see here.
Seen any of that?
Here's last year's SP Plus. Last year's SP Plus finished this way. Alabama, Ohio State. That was right. They played for the title.
Right.
Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida, BYU, Cincinnati, Texas A&M, Iowa, Iowa State. Notre Dame was 16th. And they were the 4th playoff team.
Right.
So 3 of his top 4 were in the playoff. And he gave a lot of love to OU and Georgia. And Florida, for that matter. Which, everybody's probably screaming, oh my gosh, Florida. But guess what? That team that Oklahoma obliterated wasn't the Florida team that played all year.
Right.
Go back a game and watch them play Alabama off their feet in the SEC title game. That was the Florida that he's ranking number 6, not the one that OU killed. You know what I'm saying?
The one that quit on their team.
And didn't have guys and all that.
I almost regret asking that question because last year you could almost say it was a wash in a weird way. I don't want to put asterisks on anything, but you had players opting out in the season, not during bowl games, but in the season. You had shortened seasons. Ohio State comes to mind. So last year's kind of hard to.
It's funny you say that because he talks about this year's rankings. He implemented a sliding scale. If you played 10 games, which some did, some didn't, then it was all, the formula was normal. If you didn't, then he had to kind of try to project with the numbers of what it would have been. So, you know, he said that was kind of wonky, and hopefully this is the only time he's going to have to do that.
Right.
So we'll see if that affects it at all. It's interesting, though, because when we were talking, okay, who could jump up? Who is a team that maybe the coaches have at a certain level that we think could be better or we think could be worse? Wisconsin wouldn't have been the one to come to mind.
No, Miami would have been, I think.
Maybe Miami. I mean, I know both of us said Oregon.
Right.
And he's got Oregon 3 spots lower than the coaches do to start. As USC.
And he has him.
As the top team. Actually, Washington is the top team out west, according to these, but they're all right in a row, 13, 14, 15, Washington, USC, Oregon. Miami is an interesting one, and guess what? We won't have to worry about finding out about Miami because we're going to. Week 1, Atlanta, Georgia, Alabama.
That's right.
It won't take long to figure out, man, that Miami team could be pretty good or maybe not.
The funny thing is Alabama makes a lot of teams look like, eh.
Especially that first
game. Especially that first game.
Oh, boy.
And then suddenly everybody forgets about them, and then they'll go have a good season.
You know, in recent memory, the only team that even played that sort of close was West Virginia.
Yeah, I remember that.
Everybody else just gets it handed.
Yeah.
I mean handed to them.
What are you more interested in or more excited for when these early huge matchup games? You mentioned Alabama, Miami, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Clemson. Which one do you think? It's kind of a two-part question. Do you have more excitement for that could be the best game of those three? And which one would have a more lasting effect as the season goes on?
I think it's easy. Ohio State, Oregon. In the event that Oregon can win. I think that's the – I mean, Georgia, Clemson, yeah, they're good. both of we you know what I'm saying? We know they're good. Mm-hmm. And which one's better? Even that one game may not tell you that. You know what I'm saying? But Ohio State Oregon to me is the one, because it's a chance for an Oregon team that people think super duper talented to keep the whole conference in the conversation by going into Columbus and winning that game against an Ohio State team that's breaking in a new quarterback. I mean, I get it. They reload, blah, blah, blah. But it's still, it's not Justin Fields. It's somebody different.
Yeah.
And can Oregon, even if they don't win the game, acquit themselves to a huge level? Because, you know, we keep on mentioning, I do the same, that Oregon-Auburn game from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That Oregon just blew.
Right.
And back, you know, and it seemed like this huge thing. Well, it turned out Auburn wasn't very good. And so that meant Oregon.
Yeah, that was supposed to be Bo Nix's coming out party.
It was.
He hasn't really elevated since then.
Still hasn't.
No.
And so then, is that the year that Oregon beat Utah to keep Utah out of the playoff? It was.
And it helped OU.
And it helped, yeah, that's right. It helped OU get a whooping.
Wow. Well, anybody,
which everybody else was going to take, too.
Anybody was going to take.
That's right. But
when the Federer and OU's cap say, yeah, well, I made playoffs.
You know, but Oregon, as much as we thought that knocked them out, they actually had bounced back to a level. If they don't blow that game against Arizona State,
right,
then they're the team in that
the
game.
The narrative was when they lost that game that,
that's
boom,
it.
Pac-12, you're done.
Now, they were helped immensely by Utah being so good.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's their saving grace here if they don't acquit themselves. And listen, watching that game, most people thought, well, good God, Oregon's better than Auburn. They just blew it. And that helps when you don't just get smoked in a
yeah.
game like that.
Yeah.
Because they had complete control until they didn't.
So if Oregon,
but to me, if Oregon can go in there and win, that helps USC, that helps Washington, and that helps whoever from that's not, you know, up there in the preseason. Is it Arizona State? Is it somebody else? Helps them pull them forward, just because the perception of that conference goes sky high compared to what it is now. I'm not telling you it's going to go like, hey, oh yeah, Pac-12 is like the second best conference. It's not going to do that, but at least it gets out from underneath the doormat.
Right, keeps them in the conversation longer. If they go up there and lose barely, do people still bury the Pac-12?
Yeah, for
they
now
they lose by field goal as time expires. But
I don't think
that was their only shot at being in the conversation.
I don't think that buries them if they go up there and get beat by 3 touchdowns.
Oh, well, that buries them.
That buries them for a while until we see what everybody else does.
Right
now,
but I can see the same scenario. I can see, or either way, close loss or blowout loss, Oregon still being the best team in the Pac-12.
Yeah,
but nobody's going to care.
But it has to matter. Because
yeah.
if you can play Ohio State off their feet and Ohio State ends up an undefeated team in the playoff, you get a benefit of a doubt
sure.
there.
Yeah.
With, you know, depending on, you know, Clemson, this is, you know, this is probably a pretty big game for Clemson. More than Georgia.
You think?
Oh, heck yeah. Because Georgia can suffer a loss to Clemson and still make the playoff.
Oh, but good point. You're right. If Clemson loses,
survive. I think what it does, if they lose to Georgia, their margin of error is nothing. They can't lose again.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And here's the truth, take Clemson out of the ACC, and they're nowhere near as good as the Pac-12 or the Big 12. But they get to be in that conversation as the third best because Clemson, which – you know, you can say the same that OU and the Big 12. I get it. But that's, you know, their schedule's pretty – doesn't have Notre Dame on it this year, I don't believe. So it gets a lot weaker after that Georgia game. So it's maybe a big game for Clemson. All right.
Clemson, while I look at their schedule.
They back to the Big 12. So four teams inside this SP+. It's the same four. Actually, he's just got three in the top 25. Oklahoma State's just outside. OU, Iowa State, Texas, and OSU in that order. And really pretty similar rankings as the coaches.
Yeah, very.
Very similar. The one thing that this breaks out, though, is offense and defense. Probably to nobody's surprise, Oklahoma's second-ranked offense in the nation, first in the Big 12. You know who this formula spits out as the best defense in the Big 12? I do. I know. You don't.
Well, I'm looking. Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State.
Interesting.
I don't think anybody would just fire that out there.
No.
You know, Oklahoma's getting a lot of credit for defensive improvement, which they should. I think Iowa State brings back dang near everybody defensively, and they were a fine defensive team. But Oklahoma State has the best numbers and the best production returning. Malcolm Rodriguez, Colby Harvell Peel make a big difference there with those guys coming back. You lost Rodarius Williams, so there'll be a new corner on one side. But it's interesting to see because, you know, we talk about, God, if Oklahoma State or if Oklahoma, if they just play a little defense to go with that offense, look at that other number with OSU. 13th best defense,
yeah.
53rd best offense.
You almost think that should be flip-flopped.
It's pretty weird because I get it with the turnover problems of Spencer Sanders. I understand that, and that probably has something to do with it. But you realize they returned four guys that ran for 100 yards last year in a game.
Yeah.
Or they had four. They returned three. I'm sorry. They had four. They returned three. Hubbard's gone. The other three guys are back. I think a big thing you're seeing here that's missing is who steps up and replaces the production of Tylan Wallace.
Yeah.
I think that, as much as anything, is what you're seeing in that low, low, low. I mean, because no one really believes OSU's in the middle of the pack offensively in the country, do they?
Not now. I think, and you're right, the losing Hubbard and losing Wallace is a big reason for that.
Production-wise. But, you know, they
I mean, analytically looking ahead-wise.
I think that's a big part of why it's there.
Just question marks right there in those skill positions.
But I'll be...
Now, I think one, wide receiver. I think the running back position is going to be fine.
Oh, I do too.
You mentioned it. I think it is. There are guys that stepped up when Hubbard just wasn't producing last season.
And, you know, I don't know how much you can value offensive linemen in this. Tevin Jenkins, they lost. But here's the deal. They really didn't have him last year either. He was hurt almost the whole year.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much the injuries that affected last year's success end up being a big reason why this year is more successful for getting guys on the offensive line some time that they never would have gotten a year ago with a fully healthy squad that they'll be able to kind of build on. 53rd, whatever the numbers say, they say, and I get that. But, I mean, Nebraska's got a better offense than OSU? Come on, man. That ain't right. I mean, it's just not.
No.
It's just not. So, you know, you see that number come up even to 30, which would be a really low offensive number for OSU over the past 15 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been way inside the top 30. How much does that affect them? Are they up in the top 20 if the offense shows out the way that I think it can? It'll be interesting to see. You know, this weekend, this is the yearly marital, what do you call it?
Anniversary?
No.
Oh. It's like, did I forget something?
Like when you go to, it's like yearly marital counseling here in Elk City. For 2 days. It's like a 2-day counseling session. You know what it is?
No, what is it?
The Tumbleweed Twosome.
Oh.
The Couples Golf Tournament.
Ooh.
The yearly examination of just how much you and your wife get under each other's skin on the golf course. Or don't.
Oh, boy. You going to be participating?
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. The old wife and I.
Maybe we should have Kara call in on Monday. Before Jim.
Oh, now this. It'll be like Jules. Exactly. Jules. Kara.
And talk about how the weekend went.
I really thought maybe she's not listening while she's driving, or maybe she's not texting while she's driving, both of which would be probably good. Yeah, 72 couples for 2 days at ECGCC.
72 couples.
Last year, I will tell you this. Last year, we went about it all wrong. by that, I mean we shot the proper scores. We probably shot them in the wrong order.
Oh, okay.
Because unlike some of you out there listening, I won't sandbag. I refuse to sandbag. I don't even know how you would do it. But that also leads to shooting 8 under one day and 1 under the next day. Now, if you shoot 1 under the first day and 8 under the second day, you know what you are? A sandbagger. Or that's darn sure what you're going to get called. But if you go the other way, nobody says anything. And then, you know, why can't I bump down a flight? People get bumped up flights when they do that. What about playing great and then horrible? Or back to where, you know, you normally are?
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's always, boy, that'd be fascinating. There's no way she really would call in, but you just never know.
Never know.
You never know.
I'd just like to get her perspective of how the weekend went on Monday.
Now this. There is so much truth to this. Why don't you come coach 8-year-old girls softball tournament this weekend? I'll play golf with your wife, and maybe we can both have happy wives on Monday. Very, very true. Very true. I actually floated that idea out there. I floated that idea out there of
swapping.
Yes. Golfing. 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 Good grief, Jared. This is a kid's show.
That's not what I meant.
This is a kid's show.
Oh, boy.
Of
someone now nearly ran off the road if they're listening.
No, yeah. Here. This is what this is going to say. But anyhow, that is.
So it's a 2 day?
2 days.
Well, I hope the weather cooperates because they're calling for rain.
It's supposed
tomorrow.
To be nice and cool. It's usually about 150.
Cooler. Yeah, it's supposed to be cooler, but they're still calling for rain chances. I've seen anywhere between 40% and 60%.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. I've seen one say 40, the other one say 60.
It's kind of looking at the
depends
old.
Depends on the time, too.
Yeah, AccuWeather. And it tomorrow, it seemed like the highest chance was like between 2 and 3 o'clock. You'd like to think that we'd be done.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sake, 6 hours. Surely we're done, but probably not. That's the problem.
I golfed with my wife one time, and it was a lovely experience.
Oh, really?
It really was.
See, because about everybody has...
She doesn't give herself enough credit. She has a little bit of golf background from way back, and she doesn't mind grabbing the sticks and giving it a go. And there... I'm just saying, she doesn't give her... And I've been asking her ever since, and she just doesn't want to go with me. But I would find it pleasant, I think, if I can just... Me and her just go.
Did you say something you know you... Did you don't realize you said?
No,
that
she
upset
just...
Her?
She said, I just would rather... read a book than golf.
Wow.
I just, oh, whatever. Geez. I mean, tis their own, whatever, but I had a nice experience. Just me and her on a golf cart, and we're just, I think we played our own balls, and it wasn't bad. I thought, well, this might be a long day. There were a couple times she struck the ball very well.
Played your, really?
Not like we're playing against each other.
I know,
think
but just
score.
Boy, I've never gone that far into it.
It was
speed
a nice day.
Speed up play.
It was a day. It wasn't busy out. It was right here at Elk. It wasn't that busy. We weren't. If someone came up, we let them play through. I enjoy that time with my wife.
I do too. I cannot wait on it. I cannot wait. It's here for another year.
Great.
If you hear me kind of mumbling around going, hey, da 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 da. Because I have to do the auctioneering.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not practiced up.
That'll be fun. I'm getting some text messages myself.
All right. We gotta
well,
go.
Have a good weekend. I can't wait to hear what happens on Monday. I got nothing planned this weekend. We're kind of on cruise control until softball and football kick into gear.
Well, if you want to see couples fighting, come Sunday about noon. Everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. way.